I'm Amy.
I'm Wendell.
And I'm Patrick.
And
this is
Yes
But Why
Podcast.
I guess, do people know that you do comedy and improv and everything?
They do. I try, when I started this new job, I tried to be more open about who I am instead of trying to hide it from everybody, you know, except for I regret doing that. I wish I'd hidden it from everybody.
Yeah, no.
It is a weird thing, you know, to reveal to people right away, especially strangers. They act weird about it.
Yeah, we had a headhunter come in, and he found out that I did comedy somehow. So he's like trying to bond with me over that, and then like apparently came to the theater.
Really?
Yeah.
I
was like,
workshop at Fuck this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. So it's like, if I'd known the guy, different. But this is like a headhunter trying to get on my good side, and it was just like, this is a little weird. Like, maybe no, man.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. I specifically told him, like, there's some great shows at Cold Town. Like, go over there. Because they do. They have great shows. And I was like, and I won't be there, and I won't have to perform in front of you, headhunter guy.
Yeah. I had a manager one time who, like, I work at a restaurant, and he would introduce, like, if he ever sat at a table in my section, he'd be like, oh, you guys are going to love Wendell. He's hilarious. And it's like, let's build to that. Let's build to that. I'm not starting off hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm starting off by, like, feeling the vibe out, you know? Like, if you don't want hilarious, then this is going to be a long hour and a half for both of us.
I know. If you'd, like, quiet, demure waiter who lets you have your own, like, time.
Shit,
you know?
He's hilarious. All right, let's leave. Let's get in the car.
That is immediately a red flag.
What's up, guys? He's got like rubber chickens and it's like, hey.
Yeah, it's like the guy from Office Space. Is it
That's
Office
exactly
Space?
What I was thinking.
The guy with the flare. Yeah. Hey guys, how's it going? Wah, wah. You're Jesus
God.
Christ. Yeah. Those are always the people. In fact, recently there's been a bunch of people talking about. There's been a slew of posts on Facebook about people who have said to them, I don't need to take classes. I'm already really funny. And, like, it's one thing if you're a stand-up and you think, like, your open mics are as educational as you need. All right, I'll give you that. Okay.
Sure.
I mean, like, I disagree, but hey, you're putting work in, so you're fine. But the schmoes who are just like, oh, no, I'm just funny in real life, so I don't need to, like, worry about taking classes to do any of it because I'm way funnier than you guys. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Let's just okay.
enjoy
super
bombing
sorry.
On stage.
Yeah, it's like great.
That's assuming that you're learning how to be funny. It's not necessarily that. It's more learning about how to like either sharpen like how funny you are or like expand on it in some way. It's not like anybody comes in here and was just the lamest son of a bitch ever and now is, you know, funniest person in Austin.
You think so? I've taught a lot of level ones. I've made a lot of funny people.
Hey, you're working on one right now.
No, I just finished that level one, and they're funny now.
Oh, yeah?
It's done.
There you go.
It's done. Yeah, they finished.
It's a real morose
they
group
had their,
walking
they
in.
They were sad. They were crying when they walked in. But they.
I'm 3 years in, still not funny.
I found all of them.
That's weird.
I found all of them on the edge of a building. They were all about to jump off. And I was like, hey, guys, come on. Let's go laugh about something.
I was like, you know what guys in their 20s want to hang out with? A 38-year-old pregnant lady. Come on.
Yeah.
This is clearly your demographic. Get over here.
Come on. Who
Come
wants to
on,
play
guys.
Zip Zap Zap?
Nothing makes you feel better about your life.
Zip Zap Zap.
Just picture someone playing that alone
God.
In their house by themselves.
Just with the mirror.
Just looking, listening for somebody.
I find that, I don't know why, I was like, I started taking classes because, I mean, I was always in theater.
Mm-hmm.
Regular, like, plays and stuff like that, and then somebody was like, you should do comedy, it would be fun. I did like serious theater for a long time, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess that would be interesting, I should take those classes. Why did you start taking classes?
Oh, well, kind of what we were just talking about. I saw a college improv team, and I was like, because I had friends on it, and I was like, man, I'm funnier than you and you, so let's do it. So I hiked over to Cold Town and did some shows and started taking classes and stuff.
Nice.
It was a pretty self-centered way to start improv. But that was my entry level to it.
Well, I think like as long as that that attitude drops pretty early on. Oh, I think that's right. kind of my attitude going in too. Yeah. And I was like, three classes in the level one, I was like, oh, that's not the point. Yeah. And, you know.
I immediately found out that I was not funny. And, but it kind of like gave me permission to like actually try to be funny instead of like just like be like, I could do that someday.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. The like pipe dream versus like, you could actually do this. Let me teach you the architecture of this sort of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, when I can tell that my level ones are particularly nervous at the beginning, I assure them that I'm going to teach them, you know, the basic tenets of comedy math, and that by the end, they're going to be able to do comedy, whether or not they're actually funny.
Right.
And whether or not I actually teach them what they expect I'm going to teach them, I still, by the end, they're funny. Yeah. And so I was like, I'm just giving you confidence by telling you there's a building block and that you're going to know that building block eventually. Mm-hmm. And then they're finally like, you know, I think I know it. And I was like, great.
Great. What is it?
No equation that I...
Write that down?
There's nothing that I told you that sounded math-like, but but I appreciate you taking the ride.
Have you ever looked at, what's his name? Deconstruction guy out in L.A. Oh, I hope he listens to this and hates me.
What is that guy's name?
Deconstruction guy.
Something. Anyway, he has like a flow chart for how you're supposed to do improv.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is like, and the deconstruction's his baby, which makes sense if you know the deconstruction. And,
right.
Yeah.
Well, it would make sense for you to have a format if you have to take that format apart.
Yeah.
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 Exactly. Yeah. And that sounds weird.
Well, I mean, like, I could tear down a shed with a hammer and have no idea how it got built. You know what I mean? But yeah, no, that does make sense. But like, I feel like if you try and map too much stuff, then it just becomes this like cookie cutter sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, but I think some people's brains are like type A stuff, so like they have to structure stuff in order to understand. Like before I. Really, now I'm a lot freer with my sketch writing, for instance, but like when I first learn a new like sketch type or something like that, like when I was first teaching it, I had to like set it up in the most structured way for me to just get my mind around it, because I would not only have to do it, but then I would have to explain it to other people. And so to do that, I really had to like make it make sense in a type A kind of way, because I'm like really, I'm very organized, and I have like tables and all sorts of like ridiculous shit. Like, even if it doesn't require a table, I'm gonna send it to you in a table. Like,
I can vouch for that.
I receive hundreds of emails from me just for just tables.
I'm definitely like tear apart things and try to figure out why it works or doesn't work. And I was just watching a Kids in the Hall sketch today, and I was like, all right, there's the two physical things that are, and then they ended the sketch, and I was just like, no, wait, hold on, why is it like, yeah, like, I went back and rewatched, it's like, oh, they're playing a different game, that's just a game on top of the game, I get it now, you know. But so
that being said, Kids in the Hall was very heavily influenced by like Monty Python, and mm-hmm. Monty Python's like number one rule was like, we don't want an ending.
Yeah,
like, just fuck the ending, let's just go to the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've always... Was that an ending? I've always heard that they were just like, it's too hard. Like, let's...
Well, maybe they, like, made the rule.
Yeah.
They told people that after they, like, just did so many.
Right. Or we're out of money, so that's just the next thing.
They could never come up with an appropriate third beat, so they just were like, let's not do it. That's our style.
Yeah. I feel like there are a couple of sketch comedy shows on TV that do that.
I feel like half the sketches I've written are like that.
Yeah. Yeah. If it turns into an ad for in the middle of it or at the end of it there, it's definitely like...
An ad.
I couldn't think of anything. This is what I got. Like,
yeah.
Done that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like...
Whenever I teach sketch, I'll be like, nope, you cannot make this a commercial all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's absolutely not.
Yeah.
I mean, guilty, right? I'm guilty.
Hey, we all are.
Yeah.
Frank, what do you prefer more, improv or sketch?
Improv. But that's just because it's less work, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let me put it this way. I put 8 years of work into improv so that it's not any work anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
If I had put 8 years of work into sketch, it wouldn't be any work anymore either.
I was like, I disagree, but go ahead.
You don't think so?
I was just looking at They up on the student section, they posted a thing about like, hey, we wanted to keep track of like shows that have started here. If you started a show here and it's still running, like, can you put it up? So I put the neighborhood up, and it was like date that it started, and I was like November 2010, and I was like, it's gonna be 7 years, and there are still times when I'm in the room with the writing thing, and I'm like, all of your ideas are great, my ideas are the worst. Never doing it again. Yeah. Like, I'm like, thank God I'm a good director, because I can't continue to write. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, I appreciate that you put in 8 years for improv, but perhaps just the sort of like, you know, wild imaginings and the freeness. Freedom. Yep, freedom. That's the word. That's the right one. Is better for improv.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like sketch is like way more vulnerable, right? Like you worked really hard on this thing and mm-hmm. you rewrote it, but with improv, you're like, that scene didn't go so well. Like, oh well.
Yeah, yeah, it's gone now. Yeah. There's no evidence of it now. Yeah. So yeah.
I tried something, it didn't work, but with sketch, you're like, oh man, I worked really hard on that thing that didn't work.
Yeah, that's true. That's sometimes true.
You don't know why it didn't work too with sketch. Like that's what's super tough. You end up doing a couple of shows of the same one. It's like you worked one day, didn't work the other day. Right. Why?
Yeah.
Why is this thing?
And it's like sometimes like if you're like working with people that like are your friends or care about you, you don't get the notes that you know you need to get sometimes. You know?
No one ever fucking gives me notes. I'm like, just tell me it's not funny.
Dude, I was like, there are times where I just like I know I'm not gonna get somebody's not gonna want to hurt my feelings or something, so I just map where the laughs are and just trim around it.
Yes. I feel like everyone's always okay with hurting my feelings.
You know, I have realized that. I was like, ooh, I gotta bust Patrick's balls. We're all being cool.
So, since with your improv groups, do you guys give feedback within the group, or do you guys have someone outside who will give you feedback? Because I was talking to some other improvisers that are like, that is our rule. Never do we give feedback internally.
Yeah. I am in favor of that rule. Yeah. I think having an outside eye is always better. Just because, like, man, that's, like, you don't want your friends, like, telling you that sucked. Like, it's a team effort. That being said, like, if you've been together long enough and you're, like, comfortable enough with each other, you can totally give each other notes, depending on the personality.
Yeah.
You need permission to do that first.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a pretty defensive person, or come across that way. Like, if someone will say, like, you know, you did this thing, and I'm like, well, what I was trying to do. And so, when I ask for feedback, I started to kind of just ask them, if they were the scene partner, be like, what were you expecting? Because I don't feel I got there, you know, with it.
There's ways to ask without, like, being tell me what I did wrong.
If they offered it to me, like, you know, like, here's what you did wrong, I'm sure I would probably come off.
Yeah.
So
see, there are some people that can like that can say that. Well, like to me in my experience, there's some people that could just be like, whoa, you fucked that up.
Yeah.
You know? And like I either respect them so much or like they've always been so cool to me every other time that I'm just like, alright, that's just a bare facts note. That's not like that's not really them trying to bring me down or anything. That literally was just like, whoa, and they were comfortable enough with me to not worry if I'm gonna go like, you know, hit my emo phase again after. And I like that. I don't know. I'd much prefer the, like, let's just brass tacks it right now and, you know, deal with the feelings later. But that's not what you can ask of everybody, and I understand that.
Yeah.
So, like, fuck this week, like, after we do a show, like, we're all really hard on each other. Like, not on each other, on ourselves, but, like, within each other. And I think that's the wrong way to go. I think that, like, just enjoy your jokes. Enjoy your show. Like, it's gone. Like, all you can do is have fun. And, I don't know. If you have a rehearsal, that's a time to, like, kind of, like, beat yourself up a little bit if you want. But I think the thing that people always want is they're like, give me hard notes, give me like tough notes. But that's not really what you want, because you feel like shit afterwards, and that's not the right way to do it, because you want to keep doing improv or comedy or whatever. I think it's effective that people are looking for. That's the word that they want.
Well, you coach a lot, so yeah. Like you clearly must have your own ideas on how to communicate with different kinds of personalities. You know what I mean? You've coached multiple troops, and I'm sure they have lots of different kinds of people in them, and some of them are sensitive, and some of them are like, you tell them something hard, and they're like, okay, and they really take it, and they do something really well with it.
Right.
But, you know, like, how do you navigate that when you're a coach? Like,
it's not easy. That's like, so like, Michael Jastrow actually gave me the advice once about like, because I told him I stole one of his exercises, and I felt really bad about it. But he was like, that's not like what a good coach does. A good coach is like someone who reads the room and tells the room what they need to hear in that moment. That is the hard part. I think as you get better at like, improv and reading people and stuff like that, you kind of like start learning like how to give them what they're looking for. Like sometimes, you know, like sometimes you just have to go over the top mean to somebody if they're beating themselves up, because you can tell like if someone hates themselves or like is like, yeah, I suck at improv, you can tell them like, no you don't, and they'll be like, okay, but they still think they suck. Like that's the thing. So you kind of have to like prod them a little bit and be like, yeah, you really fucking suck at this, dude. Like you have to like really reel them into it to the point where they get defensive a little bit, and then they'll start like believing that they're good, you know, because that's
because they've
like
been challenged.
Yeah, yeah. They decided they wanted to be.
I'll be like, yeah. Okay, fuck you. All yeah. right. Yeah. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, that's smart. I like that.
That's how my roommate gets me to read books that don't have pictures of them. Because I like comic books more than I like just in my standard reading. I like comic books more. And every now and then I'll just be like, yeah, in front of a bunch of people, he'd be like, yeah, Wendell doesn't like pictures or books without pictures in them. I'm like, motherfucker. And then I'll just go read like Paradise Lost or something.
Yeah, right.
Boom! Fuck you. That sucks. That was
really hard. You know you could save a lot of time and just buy a used book and then just slam it down on the table.
And just, something he definitely didn't read.
Yeah. Read it. So great.
I have a lot of weird classics you could probably throw at him. From college that I just kept to look cool in a bookshelf.
That's worked like 3 times. And every time he's like, oh, well, tell me about it. And then we're in a book club and I'm just mad. I'm just like, oh, shit. Shit. Sneaky.
Worst thing.
Sneaky fucker, yeah.
Why don't you try to sketch him all of that? like manipulative
Wait
book
a
club.
I'm like holding tea and I'm just like, son of a bitch.
All of a sudden it's you and a bunch of like housewives and you're all like, there's a reason why Oprah gave this her seal of approval. Damn
I just
it.
Look at the cover, I'm like, she sure as shit did. What is that?
Teaching a college class, that's the second beat.
See, but then like I can like that can happen and I'll just be like, all right, sometimes like I like sometimes because I don't feel the need to do it for myself doesn't right. mean like if I okay sorry I thought I was wearing my shirt inside out I was like, oh no.
No, I like that. That's a possibility.
Yeah, it's so is. If nobody would have said anything.
Books with pictures. Yeah. He's like, sorry, I thought I was sure with this.
Yeah, no, I'm coming off real. I got pregnancy brain too.
Smart guy.
No,
it's contagious. I'm real sorry if it happens to you, Frank.
But yeah, like even after it, I'm glad I did it, and I don't really care what like I'm just like I can see the good in what him fucking with me did. You know, right. I'm just like, all right, yeah, whatever. Okay, I read that book. Sometimes I just don't ask too much of myself, and then like if I can have other people ask shit of me, then I'm pushed farther, I think.
Yeah.
Which I like that as a method of coaching. I'm always worried about that because of the
lady terrible.
Dynamic. just because you know, if you're a lady and you push a little too hard, then they're all like, "What a bitch!"
Right.
But you. Sometimes when I see men do it, they'll be like, oh, he's so strong. And so I'm like, So I have to balance. And so I always have this sort of mom card in there that I kind of been using for a long time, even though this is the first child that will emerge from my body.
Sure. Well, yeah, nothing. Young improvisers want someone to take care of them, too. Like, that's like a thing. And that might work in your favor sometimes. But
it does sometimes.
Also, that sucks.
I mean, I never felt like you were like I can attest to that because I don't know if I've ever felt like you were like mad at me so much as disappointed. You know what I mean? Like
disappointment is what motivates me most of the time. Yeah, other people's disappointment in me, especially in improv. Like that's like if I effed up and it would, you know, on a show and people are just disappointed, sketch or improv too. It's just like, that's what makes me want to do something better. Because if it's just me, I'm just like, no, well, that sucked.
You just screwed yourself now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing it for years. Don't
That's why we're here right now. That's, she was disappointed we didn't want to do a podcast.
Now,
That's how this 1 year in, we decided.
And because some people are guilted them to do it. Like, internal, it's their internal drive. And I mean, mine's okay, but, you know, I think when you are around other people that are talented and, you know, you want to help them and, you know, be as good as them, sometimes that'll...
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, like, that's the end goal, right? Like, we all want to be good at this. There's no reason why you wouldn't want to be good at this. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Right.
And it's just about, like, figuring out, like, so how do you want to be good at this? Like, how do I make you understand, like, how do I give you that permission to just be good at this? Because I've never met somebody who was bad at improv, I guess, is the thing, is that everybody makes me laugh, so there's, like, not a reason why you wouldn't be good, except for, like, you're afraid to be good, or, like, you're not giving yourself permission.
Is that because you get a kind heart, or
probably? I don't know.
I was like, because you are a sweet boy for sure. Sweet boy. So I could see that, like, as far as
see,
like
that's a mom shit,
you get
right
that
there.
Kind yeah. kindness. Sweet no, boy. I mean, but I was like,
you're
no,
not the
I was
first
like,
person to say.
I was like, no, Frank and I've hung out before. It's not like this is the first time I'm meeting him. We've had conversations. I'm aware of his kindness. Like,
we spent 6 hours in a car together once.
Yeah, we took a wild road trip to Dallas.
Okay.
Where we both have the same agent.
Run? Oh, okay.
And we got called on an audition to Dallas, and we kind of called each other and we're like, are you going to Dallas? Like, yeah, I'm going to go to Dallas. And I'm like, let's just carpool and like make this not the worst.
Yeah.
So we just had a little road trip. I bought, here's a kind of hilarious side story to this, is that along the way, I had forgotten my sunglasses, and so when we stopped at the first gas station, I bought these sunglasses, right? So these sunglasses were in my car, and maybe about like 2 months later, my husband found the sunglasses in the car, and he was like, whose sunglasses are these? And I was like, they're my boyfriend's. And he goes, oh yeah? Really? And then he creates an entire story because he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
Like, he's not actually mad in this story. Like, but he creates, because he doesn't do improv or sketch, but he comes up with stuff all the time.
Right.
And so he created this whole story about this guy and what he was like, because they were the weirdest friggin' like, sunglasses in the whole wide world. They had like leopard print on the side, and they were like mirror reflective or whatever. Like, they were not cool.
They were ugly.
So it was like, tell me about the guy who would own these sunglasses.
This gigolo.
And then after he told that thing, he went ahead and now I just refer to him occasionally. I pulled the sunglasses out. I was like, you better watch out. Because I never wear them again. They're horrifying. I should just put them in the props.
Back into my life. Yeah.
Oh my God. So funny, though.
Return these sunglasses.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
So you were saying you've put 8 years in improv. Like, how long before you started doing sketch and stuff? Or has it just kind of been sporadic throughout?
It's been sporadic, but it took me I don't know, somewhere like 3 or 5 years. Like, it took a long time before I started writing.
Yeah.
It's scary. It's really scary.
Yeah, no, like, that's, I'm kind of hitting that point now. And it's like, it's scary, but I feel like it's something that, like, I have a natural inclination to that I'd never really thought about. And, so it's fun. It is super scary. Like, pitch meetings for the neighborhood. I'm just like, I got flop sweat.
I remember my first just feedback from the first sketch I wrote, which was just, what's the joke? Great.
Yeah.
Fuck, great. You were right. All right.
That's devastating.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Really? That's my number one question.
Oh, yeah.
What I ask. I'm like, all you need to, if you can tell me what the joke is, I don't care if it's crap.
Yeah.
If you know where you're going, then great. I can help you get there.
Yeah. When it's coaching or directing, it's easier to be like, oh, yeah, but there wasn't like a joke or a game or anything in that.
Right.
But like, when you're writing it, you're like, I thought there was something here.
Is it not clear?
I was laughing at myself really hard.
Seven pages of it.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's like, seven pages. Yeah.
No, yeah, that was the thing. It's like I realized when we were I was pitching something, and it was like, I was like, this is 6 pages. As as we were sitting down, I was like, fuck, why did I write 6 pages?
And it
was
6 pages. That's a long sketch.
Yeah. And that was like the whole thing is I was just like, because I was nervous last night and I just kept like layering stupid things in, and it was completely unnecessary considering I'm still pretty new at this, and I'm not trying to like take half the show up, you know?
Right.
Yeah. 6 pages is a lot of time.
6 pages is a lot of time.
Yeah, that was like minutes. This is something I've been working on for months though, and it's just something I keep trying to get on stage, and I keep not.
Sounds like a
on
play.
Stage. Yeah.
Sometimes if you've been working on it too long too, though, those ideas stick with you, and you can't get out of that. Like, because that's the world you've created, and that's the truth of the world. And so when you go back, you feel like you're destroying part of this world.
Yeah.
And that, you know, no one will ever get to see that thing you created, which is interesting.
Yeah, but sometimes I've found that when you're writing a sketch, there's actually two sketches in there. There's a sketch you thought you were going to write, and then there's a sketch you're writing.
Right.
Because you have an idea, and that idea inspired you to begin what you're doing. But then when you let your fingers get moving, and finally you start writing something, it's a different sort of muse, and then if you can be cognizant enough to keep the ideas separate, you could actually end up writing two separate sketches.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're just inspired by the first idea, and then you're like, wait, none of these things that I wanted to put in it are in this, but I've written a solid sketch, it's fine. It's like, great, so write the other one again.
Right. You see it in comedy like all the time. Like, people want to make it so difficult. They want to make it so hard, but like, your favorite sketches are never the ones that have, like, 3 games or something
like
that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I find one
that's true.
Or 6 minutes long or something.
Right,
the best ones are, like, 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you're, like, it's just, like, halfway through the sketch, you know where it's going.
Right.
Like, cool.
Well, I always tell when I'm teaching level one and I'm trying to explain 3 beats, I remember there was a Electric Hullabaloo show where they did pie in the face 3 times. And I was like, that was it, guys.
Yeah.
There wasn't a reason for the pies in the face. They just threw pies in people's faces.
Yeah.
And the 3rd time they did it, it was so friggin' satisfying. It was like it happened, and I saw that 3rd pie, and I was like, oh boy, I'm so excited. Yeah. It's going in a face. Like, and it was so simple.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I think it was Jasper was just saying the other day, like, all comedy is just an inside joke. And he said who brought that idea to him, but he's just like, and that's all you have to do. You just have to bring him on that inside joke. And the 3rd pie is like, you know what's coming now. You're in on this joke.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody walks in on the 3rd pie and never seen the other 2. They don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic Melvin always getting a pie in the face.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they like feel like they know that guy.
Yeah.
And of course he would get a pie in the face. He deserves that pie in the face. I feel like that's actually the beauty of like the show Fuck This Week that you do, is because when you do a show that has the Armando format, that has a story to open it up, the audience is already on board with that, and then they're just with you to support and help that person through their tough time.
Yeah.
As you are like, we're gonna make it silly for you.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
make
if
you
it's
feel
like
better.
If it's a sad story, sometimes you get stories that are so entitled, and everybody immediately hates them.
That's the other thing, though, is because you guys as the cast, you make fun of that person in a way, and the entire audience is already on board because as soon as they hear that story, they made the judgment, do they like that person or not?
Yeah.
And you guys are usually on the side of the audience.
You can
tell.
Real
good.
Yeah. There was some guy who like made a joke about beating his wife or something like that, like on stage.
Wow.
And it was like, fuck, dude, like, like, why did you do that? And he refused to give his name at the end of it, which is smart. And it's one of those things where it's like, man, sometimes you just gotta fucking destroy the audience member that told the story.
My God.
Because they're the worst.
That's so horrifying.
Yeah.
Oh, man. How has that experience been for you, though? The ups and downs of that? Like, between the group that was sort of put together, I don't know that everybody really knew each other from the beginning.
No.
And then you guys have to figure out a way to both politely and successfully navigate comedy that either helps or harasses the audience member.
Yeah. You know, I think about that a lot. I think about, like, what the beginning was, because I had to be talked into doing the show because I had a rehearsal for another improv troupe at the same time, and I, like, I was like, I don't know, should I keep doing this other team or should I do Fuck This Week? And now looking back, it's like, of course I should have done Fuck This Week. Like, it's amazing. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Definitely there was like a learning curve, but people like, we're all like, I don't know, Jeff Whitaker, like, and Carlos, like, put us all in there for a reason, and we all kind of started clicking pretty quickly. Like, we didn't really all know each other super well, but we all kind of had interactions with each other. I didn't know Chadwick at all, and Chadwick is maybe my favorite person in the whole wide world now. He's so great. Yeah. I think part of it is just, like, we were all fairly experienced. We all kind of knew how to improvise with strangers, but also, like, there was growing pains. Like, there was, like, 3 months of just, like, eating crap and just learning how to be better with each other. I don't know. I think about it all the time. There was, like, a weird little magic thing that happened that we all kind of, like...
Did you guys, like, hang out as a group and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... We don't rehearse. Don't do that. Rehearse. We do, after every show, have like an hour or two where we go to a bar and hang out together. And we try to invite audience members to come along, but sometimes I get scared. But yeah, that's where we do our bonding and stuff. And yeah, text chains.
Yeah.
Being just like super... vulnerable with each other, which is tough. But yeah, it's kind of weird how we all just sort of like fell into liking each other. It feels a little bit like lightning trapped in a bottle, and I'm so scared about it ending.
All right, so you said Chad's your favorite. You want to go ahead and just list down?
Sure, I'll rank them. Who's like the one who can take the biggest hit? Carlos is the worst. Carlos, look.
Well, and we found out where the lightning was let out of the bottle. Yeah, right here. This... Yes, but why?
Carlos is the best also. The only reason why I said his name is because I know he's the only one who has a strong enough ego that can take it. I could have thrown... Yeah. There's a couple people I could have thrown under the bus. Mason, if you're listening to this, fuck you.
Yeah. Mason, yeah, I know Mason. Where you live. I know where you live. You live in my same apartment complex. We ride the bus all the time. We're comfortable.
Oh, you live in a big comedy apartment complex.
I know, right? I found that out like 2 years into doing improv, and I was really? Like, oh, shit. And then I found out, and there's a Facebook group.
Really?
They all talk each other, Sundancers, because that's the name of the complex. And I was like, I want to be a part of that. But then I got in there, and they're all just as supportive as all improv people are. It's yeah. Like, hey, I need a ride to the airport. Hey, who wants to go grocery shopping? Who wants to do this? And I'm just like, I'm not contributing as much. There's like 13 improvisers living in my complex.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. It's affordable. It's cheap. We're all broke, I think.
It's close to the location. Institution.
Yeah, it's so, as the crow flies, it's like 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah,
that's how we discern distance in South Carolina.
That's how you do it.
As a bird would go. Bro. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I don't never heard that before.
Really?
Really?
No, I have. Oh. I'm just harassing you.
I think it's a good.
So
a
ready way to
make sense. Yeah. It's a straight line.
Unless it's just the worst.
Don't worry about anything on the ground.
Like obeys all traffic.
This is the basis of my comedy. Is people just believe whatever I tell them? Like they just. Really? That is no, of course not.
That's the funness or the freeness.
I'm the
of
oldest
the...
person. Of course I believe that.
They originally used crows to figure out routes. That was how they did that.
That's how all of our roads were built. They just set a bunch of crows off and like followed them. Like, here.
Gotta cut this tree down.
There's just a guy behind him like digging fast behind the crows.
Oh, I'm sorry, boss. I lost the crow.
So,
just one crow.
This is why we put balloons on the crows, Jimmy.
Slow him down.
Too fast, that crow.
It's like if you have a pet tortoise, you put like a balloon on it if you let it walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Very rarely
do people know that.
Yeah. Like, his tortoises. My girlfriend's best friend has
really
a tortoise.
Don't know this.
Has a little tortoise pet. And she lets it walk, and sometimes, you know, like, she's not, you can't watch a turtle go walk, that's
right.
The worst thing ever.
Yeah, painting.
So, yeah, tie a balloon to it. Or what she does, if she doesn't have helium and a balloon nearby, she'll put like a big, like a bunch of Post-its on top that are brightly colored so she can see it in the grass and stuff like that.
So the predators can as well.
yeah, absolutely, yeah. But this is a big, heavy thing. Like, I doubt anything's big enough to come scoop this thing up. But yeah. Like, there was one time she lost it in the neighborhood and somebody found it and brought it back to her.
Nice.
Because she engraved her address on the shell. That makes sense.
She wrote her name on the Post-it notes.
Yeah, but that's what you do. You put a balloon on it, and we're talking about comedy some more.
I mean, that's fine. My friend lost a turtle one time because he forgot to tie his balloon to it.
Always a balloon. Yeah. Wow. That's why you always tie a balloon to it.
Yeah. I had a friend, when I lived in Dallas, I had a friend had a chinchilla, and one time we did not, we weren't mowing our back lawn, so it got really, this is not a sad story, everyone's very afraid. No, what I'm trying to explain is,
we've all seen Sinister.
The backyard just had a bunch of like really tall grass, and we thought, that seems fun for a chinchilla.
Oh, yeah. No.
Let's just go ahead and let the chinchilla play in this. And we thought it was well marked off that like he couldn't get out, but we let him out and we're like, have fun, buddy, and we never saw him again.
Oh, so
it was just like, well, I don't know what happened to him. He either got hit by a car or eaten or just, you know, is living on the road still. Yeah. He's just carrying a bindle down 183, you know.
It's that Hulk soundtrack.
That's exactly. His name was LaPoof. And so you're just
LaPoof?
LaPoof.
Ah, great.
That sounds like a hobo name.
Yeah, it's
like
right.
That sounds like somebody find like, hi, I'm LaPoof. Let me show you the system on the rails. You know? LaPoof's the guy you talk to. You need to get a knife.
A knife?
I don't know.
Yeah, the roughest guy you've ever met is named
LaPoof. LaPoof. Yeah, LaPoof. LaPoof's got a knife.
That's French for
your premise is false, sir.
Poof is French for genocide. You guys didn't know that? No.
Oh my God. See, they don't believe it when Wendell says stuff. No, but if I said it, you guys would be like, what? That is a true statement.
And then sometimes I just say a thing I think is true and everybody gives me that same reaction. It's like, yeah, I'm audacious. So you were the funny kid growing up in like your...
Sorry that came out of nowhere.
Hard juxtaposition.
I the funny kid growing up?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, kind of. I mean, yeah, I thought I was.
I think that's that is the malady that we all kind of have to... go through at some point is finding out we're not the funny kids if there's enough funny kids around.
Yeah.
We're the funny kids. Shut up.
I definitely thought I was, but found out very quickly that I was not.
Where'd you grow up? You're from Texas?
Baby, Houston. Houston, right. Central Houston. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Fucking 7x3 till I die.
Like that? Why does everybody Houston? Call me baby and then say Houston?
Baby, Houston rules.
Yeah, you loved Houston?
I love Houston.
Yeah.
It is the best city in the world.
Right on.
It's awesome. It's the right amount of shitty, which is great. And it's got the best food for the cheapest prices. It's got the rap scene is so amazing.
True.
Cough medicine games on point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, buddy.
Yep. Grew up doing a little bit of that.
Yeah, a little mm-hmm. lean. Mm-hmm.
No one ever has a cough.
Yeah.
No.
No one has ever done that.
Zero breathing disorders.
It is... Look, I mean, like, it's a city where you can drive through and all of a sudden the street names are in Vietnamese or or whatever, and that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm normally not very about civic pride. Normally I'm just like, cut it out. But that was confident. And all of a sudden I like want to give Houston a third chance.
Keep third coast, third chance, baby. I love it. Early 90s Rockets. Listen, most of what I love about Houston is tied up in the 90s, but it's...
Sure.
Yeah, but it's... Listen, a lot of people don't know this. The largest city with an openly gay mayor until recently when she stepped down or wasn't elected. I don't know. Vibrant art scene. It's great. There was a new movement in Houston for a while, and now it's the Station Theater.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Those guys are all great. Love those
guys. That's where Lisa came from, right?
Yeah.
Lisa's Houston, too.
Yeah.
Well, she's like San Antonio originally or something like that.
Mm. Yeah, she was just in Houston when we snapped her up.
I would just never know what she likes, though, so...
What she likes?
Yeah. Like, if she liked Houston, I would never know.
You'd probably ask her.
I think the arts affect people differently in Houston, you know what I mean? Like, if you're down for the system that is the way Houston runs their arts, then you're into it. But, like, if that's not the way you view how art should be run, because, like, it's a very, it's one of those cities that has, like, they have an opera, they have a bunch of, like, regional theaters where they're run in a very specific sort of businessy way.
Yes.
And if you're not down with that level of show business, then, you know, if you're more like, I like it when there's two guys trying to figure it out in a basement, like, well, here you are in Austin. That's the way it kind of works here.
I disagree. I think that there's a ton of black box theaters in Houston. I saw my calculus teacher do what is it called? Proof in a place called the Red Door Theater off of Westheimer, I think, and Edlow, something like that. It was awesome. There's a ton of, like, small little theaters. You wouldn't know, and nobody comes to them because there's a ton of them, and that's the nature of doing, like, small theater. But it's, I don't know. You can disagree with me, but I.
No, interesting. Right. No, I only know the parts that I've worked with, and I've only worked with the larger companies.
Yeah, I can dig that. Houston is definitely a city that you have to get to know. It's like your mean friend, you know, like you have to like. Get to know it and find all the cool shit, and otherwise, and you'll love it. You'll love it so much. But it's not easy. Like when you first go in, you're like, "Oh, Katie sucks." And you're like, "Well, don't fucking go to Katie." Like,
okay,
yeah.
All right, no, that was a great analogy. And honestly, again, you're carrying this torch almost solo.
I know.
100%. I have never had anybody just. Really come at me selling Houston, so this is great.
I am.
Because I'm buying it real hard right now.
There's been a little bit of a resurgence lately. People have been, there's a couple of shirt companies out there that rep the Houston pretty well, but there's, it's definitely has the reputation of sucking.
Well, I mean, that's why I don't like Civic Pride, because a lot of the times most people don't like another city just because of their own Civic Pride about where they are. Like, there's like that bias, you know? It's like, you're just standing right here. That's the same shit standing over there, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, that's why. But, yeah, no, sometimes every now and then it's like, I want to buy a jersey from your city or something, you know? Like, like you sell it well enough.
Ooh, see a good, man, rock a good vintage Rockets hat? Baby, that's great.
Yeah,
baby.
Or
ooh, baby's gonna come up a lot tonight.
Astros cap. Oh yeah. God, it's so good. I love it.
That's awesome.
So they have excellent sports. I'm guessing.
Nope.
No.
No.
I see.
Well, this they is a podcast sports. About Houston. Right?
Now it is.
Yeah, it is. Sure. So
I was like, I'm from Boston, where all the sports are bad. So it's
really?
Okay. I mean, not now. They got better, but they figured it out. But you know,
sort of the way that happens. The time people show up.
The Rockets have. So the Rockets were really amazing in the 2 years that Michael Jordan retired, and. After that, they've never... I mean, like, they're always good, but they'll always let you down, unfortunately. They have a good team now, but they're never going to be, like, champs.
I don't watch sports.
Me neither.
Michael Jordan played for the Rockets?
No. Michael Jordan played for the Bulls. The Bulls had this crazy dynasty going on.
Right, okay.
He Rockets retired for 2 years.
Kind of came in and filled a void.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
I see.
Exactly, yeah. We had the Dream Team.
Right.
Pretty much.
And the Astros are the baseball team.
The Astros are the baseball
team.
Okay,
see, that's where I was going.
They have been varied from okay to sucking real bad. I think they lost like 100 games in a row a couple years ago.
Wow.
I can just say that about
that's
the
nice.
Game of baseball in general for me, in my attitude.
Yeah, I get it.
Just like, it's sometimes I have a good time, and sometimes I just like, thank God there's hot dogs and beer.
Yeah, I enjoy yelling at baseball games, mostly. Yeah,
I normally...
That's the only thing I enjoy about sports, is the yelling.
Yeah.
I just yell. I don't know anything about them, but I. Yeah.
I don't know anything about them either.
Yeah.
I just know these various reputations about Houston, and that's it. The Texans are terrible. I can tell you that.
They used to have the Oilers, though, right?
They used to have the Oilers.
Yeah.
They left in the early 90s, I think, and I don't know if they were good or bad. I can't tell you.
Where'd they go? L.A.
Tennessee. They became the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
Okay. I was about 2 hours outside of Houston, so I remember people used to have Oilers jackets and everything still. So.
Where are you from?
Palacios, Texas.
Palacios, I don't
know. Yeah, yeah. Unless you're really big into like Baptist encampments or fishing, you probably would never go there.
Yeah. Where is it, like along the coast?
Yeah, it's all right on the coast. It's between Galveston and Corpus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Like about 5,000 people now. So yeah,
nice.
Little.
So Houston was from Portland.
Portland?
Yeah. You don't know Portland?
No.
Oh, Texas. Yeah, yeah. Portland, no. Texas, where Whataburger was founded. Oh my God, this is not about comedy at all.
This is like
this
Texas.
Is this is good. I like it.
Yeah,
because
it's near Port A, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the way to Port A.
It's near Corpus.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess near Port A.
Yeah, yeah. So it's probably about, it's probably about 2 hours, right? It's like 2.5 to Houston, so I think it's about 10, somewhere around there.
Yeah. The idea of things being near each other is so relative in Texas.
Like, people that are born in Austin are like, Maine, or, oh, it's so far away. I was like, dude, we drove 2 hours to go to a Sam's Club when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, the 20 minutes is nothing to me.
Yeah. No, traffic in Austin, like, when it's bad, it's like half an hour, 45 minutes or something like that. Like, definitely Houston, you can easily, like, no traffic is 20 minutes. And getting into, like, rush hours, hours, easily, 2 hours. It's like, you just don't go during rush hour. Like, that was a perfectly acceptable thing to do, is just be like, no, I'm in this part of town and I'm not leaving until 9 o'clock. Like, that's just what I'm doing.
And there's still 6 lanes of traffic on both sides.
They have huge highways.
It's humongous.
Always under construction.
It is the craziest driving there. It's the, I'm always, whenever we go to Houston, my husband's from Houston, as soon as we like get into Katy, I'll like pull over and be like, and now you're driving.
Yeah.
Like, I'll drive anywhere on 71. I'll drive hundreds of miles through, you know, 2-lane highways forever. But as soon as we get to the insanity that is like Houston highways, I'm like, you'll be taking care of this now.
Just give up your will to live and you'll be fine. Just make those merges.
Give up your will to live.
It's very dangerous. I agree.
My mom's always convinced that I'm gonna get shot driving in Houston, just because I
shot.
Because I will be as aggressive as I need to be when I'm driving in Houston, because, you know, you're not gonna get anywhere if you don't. You know, you put on your blinker and wait for people. And so,
I see.
You know, and then I'm a very talky person in the car too. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? How dare you? And she's just like, they're gonna shoot you. I'm like, they're not going to shoot me. And if they do, I mean, there's that, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
you die doing what you love.
You're like, yelling at people. Right?
You die doing what you love.
Like, if that's all that's stopping a person from shooting me in Houston, then, like, you're going to die in Houston.
Right.
But that's not how it is. So.
Yeah.
If that person's just real trigger happy, it's just gonna, they're going to just do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's either you or somebody else. So, you know, it might as well be you while you're yelling.
Sometimes, and if you're a little more boisterous in your car, they're going to probably assume you're also crazy and they'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I think that was just your mom's way of telling you you're like a little lippy sometimes.
No, she'll tell me that right out. Hey, Mom, love you.
Oh, wait, does your mom listen to?
I don't know.
I was just saying,
no, Wendell's mom is the number one listener.
Yeah.
Hey, Wendell's mom.
Hey, Wendell's mom.
She does appreciate the
Patrick,
shout-outs.
You hear Patrick, Mom?
Give me a hard time.
He does say stuff. See, he's been talking this whole time.
Yeah, he's been running this show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I was like... We are running towards the end, so we probably should.
Yeah.
Wow. We probably should.
I know, this is always
bring
so
it
fun.
Back to comedy.
Sure, fine.
You've been doing
you came to Austin for school, I assume?
Yeah. It's been about 12 years, something like that. Yeah.
Did you go to UT?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you KVR or anything like that?
I did do KVRX.
Oh, really?
The radio. Yeah.
Oh, radio. Okay.
I had a show on at 4 a.m.
Okay.
It was brutal. We played mostly metal, but since nobody was listening, I remember I scatted for a while. people would just give us the tickets that they would, like, KVRX has like ticket giveaways, and people would just be like, if they wanted the tickets, like, I remember Ratatat had tickets, and they were just like, no, you're giving them away, because nobody's gonna call in. So if nobody calls in, we get to keep the tickets.
Yeah.
So they were just like, please give us the... You get to give them away, but nobody's going to call in, so give them back to me.
I was over at KVR TV right across the way doing their marketing stuff. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So the ticket stuff was, real nice.
Yeah.
I was curious if you did, because, like, when I was at school there, they didn't have, I don't remember there being much improv, and there was sketch, but for TV, but
really, I didn't know about that. See, yeah, there was Giggle Pants, which was like the student short form team.
Yeah,
and that was the team that I thought I was funnier than.
Yeah,
I'm talking to you, Lubu Roberts, if you're still listening.
Ooh, ouch.
It was years later that I, you know, finally even thought about doing something like this. But we did sketch. I did got to do KVR TV sketch stuff. So I was curious if you got.
No, I never got to do any of that. That sounds awesome, though. I've wanted desperately to do like some kind of like public access thing because it seems like a lot of fun. but I've never done anything. I used to do this bit where I would just prank call people, and that seems like that's kind of all I want to do with my life. That would be a really fun public access thing. That's always something I've wanted to do.
Wait, did you do that on the radio?
No. Oh, I wish. Oh, that was this close to being a shock jock, like at 4 in the morning.
Oh, great. A lot of shock at 4 a.m. Yeah, for sure. You're like, hello?
You're like, hello? Is it grandma?
You've been birthday pumped.
And yeah, your grandma died.
Yeah.
4 a.m. Yeah. Let me tell you something crazy about you. What? I'm not even awake.
Papa Booey, Papa Booey.
They're all like, things are going well at the radio station, Frank. Excellent. People, the ratings are quite high.
A lot of hate listening.
They're really into,
a lot of hate listening.
We get a lot of mail. We're not opening it, but here's a bag. You should read it.
Yeah, it's ticking.
Yeah, please.
Oh my god, they sent you a clock. So is that how you started with radio? I mean, like, or did you get into radio because you were looking to perform and it was the medium that they sort of handed you?
It was definitely like I wanted to perform, and that was, and my friend had a radio station. Like, you know, like I kept having to like get someone to give me permission to do something.
Sure.
Yeah. And so radio was definitely like the beginning of it. I mean, you know, besides like skits for school or something like that, you know.
Sure.
Like,
in class.
Yeah, in class, or like Boy Scouts or something like that, you know.
You weren't a theater major.
No, physics.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yes, you're very smart.
Oh, God, I'm so smart.
I just meant yes, but why? But
I suck at it. I continue to suck at it.
It's real hard.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
A lot of smart people there. And it took me 6 years to graduate. Not that smart. But it was like comedy was my relief from doing that other stuff. Was like I got to be like funny and like be creative and not have to do homework and stuff like that, and spend until 4 a.m. like studying and stuff like that. Like it was like miserable. It was miserable, and getting to make people laugh and like. Just laughing with other people is like it was like good medicine.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, you started classes. You started at Cold Town, correct?
Yeah.
And did you start classes before you graduated?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just trying to do the math there of the you said you did 8 years of school, improv school.
Yeah. So it was I was 21 when I started, and now I'm 29. But it was the end of my 21st. No, it wasn't. It wasn't even that. Yeah. South by Southwest is my anniversary. It was.
And that's the end of the nugget. Yeah. I wish that was the alarm we had set for like the end where it was like, you've got to go.
All right. Now we play you out.
Yep.
You're old enough, that means turn the record over.
I think. Oh, wow. How did you get older than me all of a sudden?
Wait, they. Never mind. We have a very limited amount of time.
We absolutely have to talk about
it. Is that how it happens in Houston?
No. Okay.
The only reason that reminded me of record, actually, is because of Monty Python. I could have sworn they had that joke in some of their cassette tapes. Like
it was definitely on my cassette tapes, like when I was learning Spanish in middle school. Like,
oh,
like,
yeah. Bing!
Yeah.
Turn the tape over.
Cassette tapes. Good. There you go.
That's nice. Oh, that's relatable. I'm with it now.
That's relatable. End of podcast.
Did Just entirely forever.
Oh my god, that's so funny. Yeah, that's it. We're gonna do 58 episodes and we're done now. That's so funny. Did you ever have like comedy albums? Like, speaking of records, because I have like records on my wall that I've never listened to. Like, I've listened to them in, you know, like I bought them and then I went to Spotify and listened to them. Right. You know,
sure, yeah. Believe me, I do that all the time. Weird Al, I guess.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But like, definitely my comedy was like, we stole cable. Like, we moved into this house and we got cable, and it like blew my mind. And Comedy Central was just starting, and right. Comedy Central was at that point like 90% SNL reruns, mm-hmm. and Kids in the Hall reruns, mm-hmm. and Conan reruns. And I just watched the shit out of that, and that was like my favorite thing in the whole wide world, was to watch that stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's where like I definitely like fell in love with comedy. The Simpsons, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stuff like
that. Do you like the Jerky Boys? Was that like your? Well, you said like the prank calling thing.
I know, right? Yeah, it would make sense, right. But I don't.
Did you watch Crank Yankers then on Comedy Central? I was like, if we're going to do
Comedy
Central.
There we go,
Central.
Yeah.
Crank Yankers.
I was like, Jerky Boys is a little older.
Well, we definitely quoted it a lot. So I heard it a lot on, like, Napster.
Yeah.
Napster.
Totally. Yeah, Napster.
You know, he gets a lot of flack, but without him, we wouldn't have had a lot of the things we have right now.
Like, Napster's a human being that
yeah.
we're talking about?
Yeah,
kind of.
He's a cat with the headphones, man.
Yeah, he's a demon, I think. Yeah, right. He had horns.
Oh, he's a cat.
He's a cat.
Is he a cat?
That's a cat. Seriously, cat started the internet.
I saw my first cat when I moved to Austin, okay, guys? excuse me for not knowing.
It's just like they hate cats in South Carolina. That's what happens. They just toss them in the ocean.
They hate people that want cats.
Okay. They make them
go to
North Carolina.
What other people do they hate?
Yeah, that's a
short list.
I don't think it's a short list.
No.
Well, I mean, if you just say anybody not like us.
Right, yeah. If you just a xenophobic statement right off the top,
right.
You don't have to name
just
all
new.
Of
them. Just new. Just new things. Yeah.
Frank's story of Houston, how great it is, it's the opposite story for Wendell and Tucker.
Yeah, see, that's why I had the civic pride thing I don't get. Because, like, I just...
Yeah, I was never that guy. But also, we're from Texas, right? Like,
yeah.
A lot of it is the same way. You know, like, a lot of it just hates the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It is nice, though, that Houston has that diversity, though,
right.
because that's the beauty of a big city. When I moved to New York City, that was my favorite part of the whole thing. It was like, I got to hang out with people from all over the place. I got to find out about different places. There were parades for everything.
Yeah.
Because people would be like, oh, it's just the Puerto Rican Day Parade. I was like, no, there's a parade for all of the people.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a different day.
Yeah.
You know, one day it's Puerto Ricans, one day it's Irish, the next it's Italian, then it's Chinese. Like, you know, whenever I refer to DR, people are like, what are you talking about? Dominican Republic.
Because, yeah.
like 50% of my friends, this one year that I worked at The Gap, all from Dominican Republic. So I was like, great.
One of my best friends growing up is the Dominican.
Yeah. It's like, you don't think about these. I didn't even know about that as a place when I was growing up in Boston.
Because
in Boston, it's very divided.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's diverse, I say with air quotes, but it just means they all live in their own separate sections.
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah, there's Italian people and there's Irish people and there's Chinese people, but they don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
It's not how that works.
Yeah.
I lived in the suburbs and we were the suburban people and just talked to each other. Mm. Like, yeah. It's a weird place.
Quincy.
I don't have that civic
Quincy
pride.
Sounds fun.
Quincy's all right. Quincy's a little rich for my blood.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's
isn't it supposed to be like a just like a crap town? Like isn't it a quarry or something like that?
Yeah, I mean there's some quarries for sure.
There's at least four quarries.
Well, there's a lot of water, you know what I mean? So like there's a lot of like you know, I imagine people for me Quincy was like people who owned boats.
Oh, okay.
I could be like
I'd
be like ugh. They get so much money. They got boats.
Yeah. I got that.
They don't just have a house.
They got boats.
Just
they have many
really
boats.
More often than
yeah.
That.
So you know, like when people were when they were looking for the Boston bomber and it turned out he was in a boat, I was like, of course. Where else would he be? That's all there is just boats. Boats everywhere.
Don't worry, they shot the boat. It's fine, Amy.
They shot the boat. I'm not angry at the boat.
Like the
they
boat
shot
was...
the boats?
Yeah, the boat got shot up.
Huh.
It was a good time.
Wait, mean, just after the fact?
Solid BPD. Did he get, he was sentenced, right? So he is a terrorist. We officially, we're not doing this. Innocent until proven guilty.
Ooh, this is fun. This is like a serial thing now.
No, we don't give a shit about whether or not he's innocent or not. It has no one has any. Nope, he is just in a jail talking to other people who are also like, but I'm innocent. He's like, sure.
He may not even be in the country anymore. I don't know.
I don't know how law works.
Guantanamo is still a thing, so he may be down there.
I don't know.
I mean, who knows?
I could tell you his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, not at this point. Oh. I was like, I bet my husband could. He followed that really intensely. And there's only a few sort of like news things that I was like, oh yeah, I'm into that. It was about Boston. I was like, ah, fuck him.
Yeah.
Ah, who cares?
That was when I first got into Reddit. So that was that whole.
Oh boy,
that was a big.
That was brutal.
Yeah, bad
that was a
storm.
Witch hunt.
Yeah.
Oh, on Reddit.
Which, oh yeah.
Yeah, they accused a boy who had been missing of being the bomber. Turns out the kid just died. And he just like had died and was missing.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, he's a missing Middle Eastern boy.
Yeah.
Like, definitely did it.
The worst.
Jesus.
Yeah, it comes up every time.
Yeah, his poor fucking family.
Absolutely.
Sometimes ghosts are the worst terrorists.
Yeah, sure.
That's pretty much that's what they do. They just swing
so
in.
So comedy.
Can I ask if you were funny when you were a kid?
Oh my god.
Alright, yeah.
It is 7:45. We're gonna get you out of here. You gotta go
do
your show.
Yeah, fuck a week.
Thank you so much for being with us, Frank.
Thank
it was really
you.
Lovely
Thank
to chat.
So much.
And we really appreciated discussing all the wild different things.
Sure, yeah. All these great comedy moments that we had.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Sometimes it's just about learning about people.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Good. Like this show is all about the digressions, so yeah.
Good.
Like I feel like you,
oh, yeah,
you found
absolutely.
A good niche. Yeah.
For
good.
Sure.
Good.
Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Yes But Why podcast.